Grace to you in peace from God who created all things and sustains all things. Amen. Today begins about 5 weeks of bread sayings, which for those of us who preach for a living is a little bit like rush week, right before you have your exams. So I was sorely tempted today to leave bread out altogether and just talk about the whole C thing, because that's kind of where I live anyway, but you just can't do it. So the bread of life, we begin in this whole section of what it is to be bread. Jesus and the disciples have crossed over to the other side. And we know in the Gospel of John and in each of the Gospels, every time Jesus is crossing over somewhere, something important is about to happen. And so he crosses over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. But he doesn't seem to be able to get away. The large crowd who had seen him heal and preach and teach follow him over there. 5,000 of them, it says. They saw what signs he had done for the sick and the healing. And finally, he goes up to sit down on the mountain to that desert place to be with his disciples. And all the people are there. I feel so much compassion for Jesus. In a previous life, I was a cook. And I cooked for lots of people. And to this day, I feel comfortable cooking for about 100 people if I have somebody who can help me. One person. But my constant anxiety, as my family will tell you, is there enough? Is there enough food? And so I always make sure that there is more than enough food. So if we're feeding 25, I will buy for 75. And no one will go hungry and my anxiety will be relieved. So I feel so compassionate for Jesus, who looks out around these 5,000 people on the other side of the Sea of Tiberias and asks his disciples, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" Now, John being John says, Jesus already knew, don't panic. He was just testing Philip. But imagine Philip looking at Jesus and saying, "Really? Really, you're asking me where we're going to get the bread?" And Philip, being a smart guy, says, "Look, if we took all of our money and we pooled it, it wouldn't be enough to buy enough for hardly any of them to get anything. But there's a child here." I love this about this story. There is a child who will provide. There's a small child with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus says, "Give it to them." Now you should hear echoes of our text from Kings. How many of you were aware of that text in Kings? I love the blank looks. I never knew that there was this whole thing with Elijah and the barley loaves. Yeah, there's a root to the story. Someone brings the first fruits to Elisha, and Elisha says, "Don't worry about putting it on the altar, give it to the people." But it's nothing for so many people. Just do it. And Jesus says the same thing. Just give it to them. So Jesus gives the food to the people. Now, it's important that you note that in John, in the Gospel of John, who does the distribution? This is a test. Did you notice? Oh, you didn't notice. I'm so glad. It makes it so much more fun for me. Jesus distributes the food to everyone. In some of the other Gospels, Jesus has the disciples. It's your job. Do your work. I like that one much better. But in John, Jesus distributes all to all who were seated. fish, bread, as much as they wanted, and there was a bunch left over. They gathered up the fragments afterwards, and 12 baskets were left over full. There was plenty. This is a story that is often used for stewardship, and you know, I shared with the kids one of the theories of this particular gospel lesson, of this particular miracle. Of course, we can't accept a miracle. We have to figure out how it actually happened. So one of the theories was that, you know, they had the fish and the bread, and then people started to pull stuff out of their backpacks and, you know, from their ABC bags and started to share with one another. And then one of my colleagues on Wednesday said, no, that's an even worse miracle than that Jesus made magic happen. People actually sharing? Now that would be a miracle. That stuck with me all week this week. Isn't it interesting that we kind of get focused in on the magic and how did Jesus feed all of these people rather than focus on the gift? The gift starts with these words, and he had compassion on them. This whole story revolves around the compassion of Christ for those who not only follow him, but for those who he does not even know. He has compassion on them, for they are hungry. And this incredible moment of plenty happens. Well, there certainly are plenty of parallels in our own world, even within our own community. There are plenty of people who are hungry. Lately, we've been reading in the news, and actually our friend Edward has been blogging a little bit about the growing homeless population in Kaka'ako. When I first moved here 8 years ago, those folks remained largely and happily out of sight. They were up on the Waianae Coast, and so unless you drove up onto the Waianae Coast, you didn't really have a sense of the depth and breadth of the homeless population here on Oahu. But if you would drive up to the Waianae Coast, you would see, beginning at Nanakuli all the way up to Ka'ena Point, blue tarps. Blue tarp cities in every beach park, and then all the way up into the bush, almost to the park, at the very end of the road, there were people living back behind in the trees, in the ka'ave bushes. A whole different population. And now they are visible. The hungry. Maybe they do or don't follow Jesus. I don't know. I'm not even sure that Jesus knew that the 5,000 that were with him were all that committed to church membership. But he had compassion on them. We're struck right now as a community, as a church, and as a people of faith to figure out what it means to have compassion. Now, the easy thing to do would be to just get a bigger grocery basket. Get like 100 grocery baskets and every week feed them up and then a little train take them down to Kaka'ako. But it won't solve the underlying issue. That within society and within our country, there is a growing disparity between those who have and those who do not have. And there's a growing will to leave compassion behind. But to do so, it seems, at least to me, betrays one of the fundamental parts of our faith. To have compassion. We all know from every statistic that's ever been done in the last 40 years that there is enough, right? There's enough in our world. There's enough food to feed everyone. There's plenty. There's, good Lord, there's lots of money around. I mean, it's just really hard, though, for us to begin to create a system or an understanding for one another and for our society that is compassionate in its life. Now, I know there's been a lot of talk about socialism and what are we going to do about all of these kinds of things, but isn't it strange to sell a condo for $55 million? A quarter of a mile from the tent city in Kaka'ako? Doesn't that seem strange? Do you realize that the condo fee on that condo is $20,000 a month? It's the condo fee. But it's a real illustration of how we are these days. It's a reality that we want to sometimes ignore, that we probably can't afford to ignore anymore. And it's just continuing to grow. That disparity between those who have and who do not have, and what's come to be called compassion exhaustion or compassion fatigue, we're just getting tired of feeling sorry for people. It's in the news all the time. So what will we do? How will we live? I think that's one of the fundamental questions for the faith community and for our community at large, as a nation and as a world. Is there another way to be in the world? I love that in this story, Jesus doesn't say, I'll tell you what, let's get a couple of committees together and let's send some people over to Bethsaida and then we'll send another group over here and you go to the A&P and you go over to Zippy's and buy some chili. Jesus says, make them sit down. Make them sit down. And he fed them. I don't know what that would look like for us in our world, to help people sit down and to share with them compassion. This morning, as I arrived for church, I got here early because I had an 8:15 meeting, and as I was getting out of my car, I noticed a young man walked in and sat down. And I said, good morning, and he said, good morning. And I said, can I help you with anything? And he said, I'm just taking a rest. And we get a lot of that. And I said, okay. And so I went around my way, and then I finally got the coffee made, and I said, would you like to have some coffee? And he says, no, I just want to rest. I said, okay. So then while I was doing some things in my office, I thought to myself, I wonder if anybody notices this young man. Good, I'm glad. All right, somebody marked something for Ilsa. You did. You're exactly right. I sat at my chair and I thought to myself, because I'm a little bit paranoid, I thought, I bet he's a reporter for the Star. And he's going to do a story about the lack of compassion in Lutheran churches. But I watched. And almost every person that passed him by said, good morning. And I was so relieved. Because I thought I was going to have to come and do this sermon and say, and you didn't say anything to him, and it was Jesus in your midst. Haven't you heard that story? I know that we cannot solve the homeless situation in Honolulu on our own. And we cannot feed everyone on our own. But we can understand ourselves as part of a compassionate movement. And we can sit down together with those who are hungry and gather together our whole community, churches and synagogues, social service agencies, and participate in helping to understand how we can form a society, a place where no one is hungry. What comes clear from the story that Jesus shares with us today is that there is enough. It may not look like it. It may just look like five barley loaves and two fishes, but there is more there. We witness that miracle each and every day when we take a little tiny loaf of bread and we feed every single one of you the bread of life. And in the same way, we give that bread of life again and again in our community. That compassion begins with the love that Christ first has for us and lives most fully in that body of Christ when it gives itself away. Jesus crossed over to the other side and they followed him there. I hope and pray that we will always follow as well. Give ourselves away for the sake and the love of Christ. Amen.